I was terrified. It was a 14-hour day of just business students talking about jargon and their classes and financial plans, and I felt just like a fish out of water.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. Jennifer Sheets, a writer and English instructor at the University of Montana, won the 2018 John Rufato Business Plan Competition and its prize of $22,000 in startup funding. What is remarkable is that Jennifer had no previous business training or background. Today on Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we uncover the secret to Jennifer's competition-winning success and learn about her venture, Story Squares, a digital writing tool for young students. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives, and from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans, and from Blackfoot, providing communications solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for our listeners, what is Story Squares?
Story Squares is a web-based digital writing tool for the classroom. It is like storyboarding. So we use digital sticky notes to walk users through their writing from beginning to end, whether they're writing an article, a speech, a persuasive letter, we will help them finish their document.
And how did you come up with this idea?
Well, I was actually storyboarding my own story. I'm a writer, and I was in my backyard, had a piece of cardboard and some sticky notes. The wind picked up and they were gone. I thought, oh, okay, this is ridiculous. Moved to my computer, started typing, but I couldn't do both. So I talked to students about their difficulties with writing and decided to make the method of storyboarding digital.
And how did you find your way to be a competitor in the John Rufato Business Plan Competition?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, like I said, I'm a writer. I'm a reader. I've just kind of wandered around lots of jobs, nothing business-oriented. So when I had this business idea, I told some people about it, really nervous. Oh, I've got an idea for a business. Even just using the word business was so foreign to me. And somebody directed me towards Blackstone Launchpad, which is an entrepreneurial group in Montana here and across the country for students. And they told me about some competitions, one of them being the John Rufato Business Startup. Well, I decided to throw in my application, ended up being a finalist because someone told me later, well, it's because you can write. So I thought, wow, that's going to get me pretty far, I think. So I had this idea, threw it in, and was surrounded by business students. I don't know if we want to get into the day of. I was terrified. It was a 14-hour day of just business students talking about jargon and their classes and financial plans, and I felt just like a fish out of water.
You knew nothing about any of this?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
And how many competitors were there?
I think it started out with around 30 applicants from across the state, college students. Ended up being about, I think, down to 11 the day of. And we had to go through rounds of judging and, yeah, like I said, a 14-hour day. Terrifying. I was sweating all day.
So you are an instructor as well as a student. You're getting your master's in fine arts, is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, my MFA in creative nonfiction writing.
And you never took a business class?
Not a single one. My parents didn't know anything about business. My friends didn't know anything about business.
So what did you have that the other competitors didn't have that led you to win?
Well, looking back, I think a lot of confidence, which was learned. I had to have a lot of people tell me, just go in and fake it. Just be the most confident one in the room. That was my business coach, Steph Sample. She's here in Missoula, Montana, but works nationally. And she just said, own it. No matter what, if you don't know an answer, be honest. Say you don't know the answer, but be confident. I remember leaving the room during one of the judging panels. And as I was closing the door, I heard somebody say, I don't care what she's selling, I'll buy it. That was my boost of confidence for the day.
So a born saleswoman in a writer's body, right? That's what you had going for you.
I guess so.
And for our listeners, Steph Sample was a guest on one of our other podcast shows.
Really?
Which, yeah, she has a lot of good things
to
say.
Oh, check her
out. About her businesses and her approach to business.
She's phenomenal.
What prepared you to make your pitch? I mean, I know how these things work. Most of our listeners know how business plan competitions work. This one is a prized one. You won $22,000. What prepared you to make your pitch?
I watched a lot of pitches. So I just did my research, checked out other competitions like Y Combinator, Techstars, Boomtown, and I watched their videos, and I wanted to emulate what was most interesting to me. So people gave me advice of, you know, this is the how many slides you should have in a deck. This is the information you should have in a deck. And I kind of felt like everybody knew I had no idea what I was doing. So I tried to take all this advice, but by the end, I just thought, well, this is too much advice. What works for me? And I threw it all out, and I decided to put in more pictures, more storytelling, because I'm a storyteller. I guess it worked.
What advice that you did get resonated the most with you then and continues to kind of inform you now?
I would say one of my biggest mentors has been Michael Fitzgerald. He is the CEO of Submittable, the fastest growing tech company, I think, here in Missoula, right?
And a guest on one of our other podcast shows for our listeners who want to hear about Michael's success.
He was also, he's a writer. An MFA student. I think some of the advice he's given me is to just keep charging forward. Don't be afraid of your big idea. He and Steph have both said that really nobody in business knows what they're doing. They're flying by the seat of their pants. And you just have to be innovative and evolve and be flexible all the time. So if I don't know an answer, I'll find it. But it's that confidence and willing to be flexible that I think I need to embody.
That's a very interesting comment in terms of everybody's flying by the seat of the pants. I remember we once hosted a business conference here at the university. This is maybe now 15 years or so ago. And the founder of North Face gave a presentation.
Wow.
And he was talking about business successes and business failures. And he singled out Amazon as one of the companies that was going to fail, that wasn't going to work. It doesn't have, the right things propping it up. They don't know what they're doing. They're wrong in the market. And, of course, just recently it hit $1
trillion. Yeah, I'd say they're doing all right.
In valuation. So even experts can't figure out what's right and what's not right.
No, but everybody's trying to predict all the time. And so it's just such a balance, right, of trying to look forward but look ahead. You know, actually, I'm a mountain biker, live in Montana, and I was mountain biking last month. And there's a trick that I learned early on that I think I can apply to business. I'm trying to give myself advice here. But in mountain biking, you have to look right in front of you and ahead of you almost simultaneously. So you don't fall off your bike. You don't go crashing into a tree. And so I thought, I can use that. And I think I am. I'm trying to look right in front of me every day so I don't drown, but then also looking ahead at the same time. I don't know if I'll ever master that, but it's good to think about.
What has happened with Story Squares over the past 6 or so months since you won, got the $22,000, and decided to, move forward with it?
Oh,
I assume you decided to move forward with it.
$20,000 went into a trip to Mexico. Well, lots. What I thought was just going to be a friendly, nice little competition for college students, here's a check, great job, has actually launched my business. It's been phenomenal. So the amount of networking that's come forth, I've been contacted by lots of people wanting to genuinely help, have no financial or equity interest in the company. Montana High Tech Alliance, other company owners have come forward. So the networking has been great. Also, because of this competition, have gained a lot of credibility. So we went to find developers for the app. Because I had this business idea with no product as of April. So my partner and I, Walter Funk, he's in Denver, he's the designer. We approached developers and just weren't quite finding anything that was within our budget of this $20,000, and can't quite keep that a secret. Everybody knew we only had $20,000. One huge development that came forward is a company wanted to trade work. So I am writing for them, and they are developing our product for free. It's just costing me my time. So that was really an awesome find.
And what is the evolving commercial application of Story Squares at this point?
So we designed it specifically for students. So that's kind of our MVP right now. It's going to be tested in the classroom, working with students. But because of the competition and the feedback we've been getting, there have been a lot of businesses that are interested in implementing this and purchasing it. So as far as commercial application, we're looking to sell to schools, individuals, and now companies as well. So that's kind of blown it wide open.
So walk me through how it works.
Okay.
So, whether it's in a school or a business that wants to use it commercially, what does the tool do for the business or for the student?
Yeah, well, so the user logs in and they can create their own template or use one of ours. So let's say you need to write a persuasive letter because you're in fifth grade and your teacher says you got to persuade your parents that you need to buy a pony. All right, well, we're going to walk you through it. So what presents on the screen is this a series of squares, these digital sticky notes. And maybe number one is, what's your first argument? Well, I want to buy a pony. What is your supporting evidence? And on each square, you can click in there for support. What is supporting evidence? What does that mean? You type within the square. You can move them around with your fingers or with your computer. And then on the next screen, all of your text is cross-populated. So you'll see the traditional full doc, and you can go back and forth between those. And what we're trying to really highlight, what I've seen as an instructor, a college writing instructor, is that organization is students' biggest weakness, and any writer's biggest weakness. It's not the spelling and grammar, which we've been focusing on for so long, but can you organize your thoughts? So this forces users to see kind of a bird's eye view of their writing. So that's it. And then at the end, you can keep working on it, edit, share, export. So really, it's the it's very a simple design. But it's what's revolutionary is this focus on organization rather than the spelling and
right,
grammar.
Right. So you're forced to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, so to speak,
essentially,
to what you're doing.
Yeah. And you can move that around because we don't want to stifle creativity. So if you find that template's not working for you, move the squares anywhere you want, but it still lets you see your entire piece at once.
Is it being used anywhere now, or is it still in prototype, beta?
Still in prototype, but we'll be testing in classrooms in Montana, Georgia, and North Dakota this next month, so pretty soon.
So that's very exciting.
It is exciting.
You're back teaching, you're finishing your Master's of Fine Art. Can you still manage Story Squares while you're that busy?
some days. It is definitely, I have to do a 180 every time I'm thinking about school and then take a deep breath, think about Story Squares. And I'm actually, development with these developers in Bozeman, Montana is ending next month. They'll hand it off. It's just a contracted project. And then we're switching over and I'm thinking we're working with the computer science department here at the University of Montana. So that's going to be nice that it's all on campus. I can still focus on school, work with our student developers, managing them. So I think hopefully that'll be a smooth transition.
And then who's going to sell it?
Me. I'm going to be making phone calls and going door to door. So watch out, world.
And have you put together, I know because of the business plan competition, you have to have a plan. So is the plan that you crafted 6 months ago still the one that you're implementing?
No, not at all. I would say parts of it are going to stay, but I'm glad you brought that up because that's on my very long to-do list is to rewrite our business plan, especially now that we're looking towards businesses and larger corporations. What does that look like from a sales and marketing perspective? Still working with Steph Sample on that one. So that hopefully will be done soon when I'm working on my finals and all that stuff, throw in a business plan, right?
We're talking with Jennifer Sheets of Story Squares. So you're going to get the product back from the developers and you're going to start making, phone calls. Where do you see this going? I mean, is this going to be always a small venture that you're going to, participate in along with your teaching or writing career? Or is this going to take over and become your, main driving career activity?
That is the life question right now. Somehow in my gut, I still feel like if I wanted to be all in, this could take over my life and do really well. I really think that. Number one priority is finishing school. If I didn't focus on education, I think I'd be a fraud with this, with my app. So I have to do that. After that, I am very cautiously optimistic. I I'm not a huge risk taker. So I think I've got my backup plans of what else could I do if this doesn't do well? I'll apply to teach. I'll apply for jobs. But I'm going to keep charging ahead. I think 80% of Fortune 500 companies have reported that they say writing is the biggest weakness amongst their employees, and they want writing to be better. So there's such a huge need for this. 3 out of 4 students cannot write proficiently at their grade level. So the need is there. So I think if I'm willing to go all in, which I need to be, then this could be big.
So have you just talked yourself into being all in?
Yeah, maybe you helped me there. You're my new coach.
Good. That's good. As you look back on this process, you know, going from a novice to somebody who competed against quite a few business students who had their business ideas, what advice do you have for a person with a great idea like you, but with, you know, no business background or very little business background or training? What kind of advice as you look back?
Just do it. You have to. I don't know if I'm in the position to give much advice quite yet. You know, I think this is great to be on this show because I'm hoping in 5 or 10 years, I'm going to call you up and say, hey, look at my multi-million dollar business. Because right now, I am still just taking all the advice I can get. But if I had anything, it would just be to try. And like Michael Fitzgerald said, don't be afraid of your big idea because the answers are out there and the people are out there. And you have to network and you have to create this team around you of the smartest people in the room. But at the end of the day, it's your idea, and everybody can come up with a big idea.
Well, lots of business either thrive or suffer from founder's syndrome. Mm-hmm. There are some businesses like Amazon, we mentioned earlier, you know, with Jeff Bezos. He's still he's a founder, creator of the idea, and he's became the richest man in the world. Some people, you know, are so focused on the idea that they can never make the business work. Mm-hmm. Are you mentally thinking about or prepared if this does become this multi-million dollar business? Is that what you want to do with your life, is run, you know, a big shop with lots of employees and, you know, lots of developers and contractors? I mean, that's a whole different world than, you know, than writing or helping a student. You're moving away from, you know, the focal point, the customer, to running an organization. How does that make you feel?
It is a massive shift in my life. Absolutely. A year ago, I would have said, no way, absolutely no way do I want to be managing all these people. I love to retreat to the woods in Montana and live my little life and go to work. But 9 months ago when I filled out my application, I started to think maybe. 6 months ago when I won, I thought, oh God, now I have to make a decision. Now, I think it would be really fun to bring together the most innovative, intelligent people I can find into one room and think, how can we change the world with this idea? How can we get people writing? How can I lead a big business? Am I ready for it? That's a different question.
You're married.
I am.
Is your husband all in on this?
He is extremely supportive. I don't think he even knows what's in store because I don't quite know what's in store.
Does he work in this business too? I mean, are you sharing your life in terms of not only outside of work, but inside of work? Is he involved in stories?
Oh, no. We don't. We separate life and work. I think we'd kill each other if we worked together. But he's a musician, so he's also pursuing his life passion. He's running a business with that. But then he has his full-time job. He's extremely supportive because I think he's hoping he can be a full-time musician once this takes off. So we're both kind of learning business at the same time. What does it take? Whose advice do you take? How many risks do you have to take every day? Is it worth the financial risk? Our risk on the relationship? It's hard, especially now. You know, I live 3 hours away from him. What's it going to take if this does take off? Am I going to be flying all over the country? Am I going to have to move? But we're willing to just see what happens and stay together and support each other.
Usually when someone's at that crossroads, they're either intimidated by it or enthused by it. What's your feeling now at this point?
Enthused. I am. I think I've gotten past the intimidation that I know that I can always ask. I'm very comfortable asking for answers and asking for help. I'm fully aware that I know very little and will probably always know very little. But the enthusiasm, like you said, that's a great word, is there. I hear that a lot, that I have a lot of enthusiasm. So I'll just have to keep drawing on that.
I want to get back to Story Squares itself. The concept of the business continues to evolve.
Right.
And where is it, you know, now compared to where it was when you first started?
Wow. When I first started, I was drawing out the design on just pieces of paper that I taped together, just trying to make it bigger and bigger. I would say as far as actually our core design has not changed much, which I'm proud of. I don't want to say that we're resistant to change at all. I think it's a design that still works for us. We have tested it on over 200 students, passed it around to businesses. They love it, the simple design. But where the growth of the design has changed is adapting to different companies and needs and different writing templates. Just the other day, I had this idea in my head because I was thinking, you know, how can we change? How can we always be thinking ahead of our user and their needs? And I thought, how cool would it be if somebody's talking to their friend and they're going, oh, I have to write this thing for work. And somebody goes, oh, well, there's a template for that on Story Squares. Just go get it. How neat would that be? So that's kind of where our design is evolving, is how can we be the go-to place to help anybody write anything?
Whether it's school-based or work-based, as you mentioned before.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if somebody wants to be a writer and they want to start a food blog, they want to send in a hunting story to a hunting magazine, they want to write a, you know, they're going to sail around the world and want to send it in, anything, we could help create that template.
This product is universal.
I think
so. It can be done in other languages, it appears, and
eventually,
fits in.
That's a dream.
Because everybody's writing is, you know, generally similar if you do it. You know, or you can customize it for an individual business. Are you finding that you have the support and the resources and the advisors and consultants in Montana that can prepare you to be a globally, focused business?
Yes. I am blown away by the networking support in Montana. This is, you know, weren't we ranked number one for new entrepreneurs? Sure,
one of the
things
we say in the lead into the show,
yeah.
Lead the nation.
And I feel it as a young entrepreneur here and new to the business world. We're a small state of only 1 million people. And so there's this culture that we have to help each other out because, you know, it's that biz to biz. It's like the biggest biz to biz networking, you know. We're just one big family. Yes, it's here. We've got teachers who are just chomping at the bit to test this out. We've got companies who want to implement it. I have people who are willing to sit down for coffee every day to give me support when I'm asking questions. On Friday, I'm speaking to a woman who is just an expert in the investment world, who is known all over the state and the country, but was like, oh yeah, call my cell. I'll talk to you about whatever you want. I mean, that's unreal. I'm so, so thrilled.
Well, it's also very encouraging and, you know, it gives you a sense of, you know, confidence that you could have that kind of network to reach into whenever you have to.
Yes, it's the biggest toolbox ever. That's why I feel like, yeah, I may fail, and I'm fully aware of that, but if I can charge ahead with this, with confidence and with this big idea, then I have all of these people who are willing to support and fill in the gaps where I don't know something.
So you're ready to take it to the market at some point. You're ready to sell. Who's your competition? What would a teacher or a business use as an alternative to this if this didn't exist?
Competition for teachers is going to be traditional methods. They are so limited on time that getting them to implement a new tool in the classroom is very difficult. How we've addressed that is we're using essentially the same methods they are on paper, making them digital. They use something called graphic organizers, where they give students a sheet of paper with squares. So really, we're using the same design. In companies, our competition, there really is not a lot of competition as far as this same tool goes, but it's probably going to be money. Definitely just getting them to subscribe to something saying, well, they're kind of already writing. You know, they can kind of already do it. So we just need to find that right sales pitch of we can bring it to the next level and bring in more revenue, save you time. So we need to show that.
So it's going to be a subscription-based
Correct.
Service.
Correct.
As opposed to just, you know, buying a software package, so to speak.
I'm still kind of working that out. I would love a subscription-based service, but then I'm playing around with the idea, could people just buy templates as they need them? So, for example, the food blogger, can he or she just go buy the, you know, $9.99 template? So I'll have to talk to all of my advisors about that.
Well, here's my initial thought on that for you, right?
Yeah, please.
Right on the show is that subscription gives purchaser the confidence that if things upgrade, they're going to get the upgrade. If you buy something that's, you know, already that done, then, you know, you always worry about is it going to be 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. And if a subscription alleviates that concern that the latest and best on this is going to come our way because we subscribe.
I like that. Done. That's what we're going with. Not to say we won't evolve, right? We got to be evolving.
Well,
I like this.
You're obviously very flexible about it. You're taking a lot of input. What does the academic world think of this? You've tested this with some students. You've talked to teachers and administrators because those are going to potentially be a large part of your mm-hmm. customer base. What's their reaction to this?
Love it. They absolutely love it. I mean, there's always going to be people, teachers, who are not willing to implement new technology in the classroom, but we're not trying to approach them right now, and hopefully they'll come around. But for the most part, teachers are contacting us saying, I heard about this tool. The second it's ready, can I please test it out? Administrators are excited about letting us in. So tech directors, you know, everyone was saying that's going to be your biggest hurdle is getting permission to bring it into the schools. But we already Bozeman, Montana, Billings, Montana, the school in Georgia, they are ready to let us in. We've also gotten colleges, universities who say, bring this into our writing center, bring it into Writing 101. And then just recently, I was approached by a woman in Helena who helps high school students prep for college and jobs, and they want to use it. So clearly the need is there, and this is so validating to know they're ready and excited. And I'm so excited for them to test this and give us feedback because maybe there are features that we haven't even thought of that would be really useful. So it's exciting.
Jennifer, it's been great catching up with you.
Thank you. You too.
We're going to probably bring you back at some time in the future, you know, a year from now, and see how things are developing and going
that.
And how many story squares have been sold.
And thank you for your advice and your support.
It's terrific. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Autumn Barnes and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. Comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests' contact information and content from all our shows. Listen next time to Can Do when our guest will be Toby O'Rourke, the first female president in the 56-year history of KOA Campgrounds. I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity. Production support for this Can Do podcast comes from the Dennis and Phyllis Washington Foundation, dedicated to investing in people to improve the quality of their lives. And from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. And from Blackfoot, providing communications solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com.